Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Good morning, everybody. This is Guest Thursday, and we have very special guests that have been on before, Denny and Allison Allie Weinberg from, I guess, what town do you guys, Santa Rosa Valley? What?
Santa Rosa Valley.
Yeah. Tell everybody where is that?
Ventura County, and it's about 60 miles above Los Angeles, about 30 miles south of Santa Barbara.
And beautiful countryside there, right?
And today we are harvesting avocados.
Oh, neat.
Oh, great. How fun. I'm so jealous.
What is that? When you say harvesting, how does that work? And there, first of all, how you got a big orchard. So,
yeah, we have 1,500 trees. And right now there's five guys out there with big old duffel bags on their shoulders, and they're shimmying up trees and pulling out fruit. And what we're harvesting this next couple of days is younger trees that have bigger fruit because the market's good for those. And we got a storm coming up in the next few days. So they're scrambling all around our house for a...
fast, really fast. And they carry over 100 pounds on their back because it's all
That's amazing.
It's all handpicked. Yeah. So it's exciting. It's just exciting to see how God blesses this land every year.
Yeah. So are there multiple harvest seasons for y'all then? Do they do this periodically throughout the year, or is it like one stretch of time that they really go for it?
It's once a year.
Once a year. Okay.
There's a natural flow of springtime. The sun comes out, the rains, occur, and flowers bloom on the trees. The bees come. Mm-hmm. They pollinate, and tiny, tiny, little bitty, miniature, microscopic sized avocados show up about 2 weeks later, and then they just get bigger and bigger and bigger for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and tell us what happens next. So they harvest them. What happens to them? Where do they go? And how does it wind up at the grocery stores and stuff and restaurants?
Super fun to watch. Yeah. Allie and I have watched this happen in the past. They'll go into into bins. That have 1,000 pounds each today. Those bins will be picked up at the end of the day today by the handler that we hired for this year's crop.
Do we know who?
Yeah, we know it's Delray, I think, this year.
Oh, Delray. Okay.
And each of these handlers have facilities to pack and freshen, and they have and deliver, and they already have clients assigned to certain sizes of fruit. And so what will happen is in the grading process, it's all automated. Our fruit will go on lines this afternoon. They'll get graded by size and quality. They'll roll into packaging that's been designed for each one of their customers. So every piece of fruit they pick from our orchard will be assigned to a client, a customer somewhere in the world today, will be in that customer's packaging, and will be put in a freshening bin that is designed for it to show up at that store, whether it's a Kroger or a Costco in Kentucky, whatever it is, that store will receive those avocados on a certain day in the next 2 weeks. They will be exactly the amount of freshness and firmness that the shopper of that store expects to see the next day in their store.
Yeah.
It's that automated.
That's amazing.
It's incredible. Yeah. You can't even imagine what goes on with our produce.
And by the way, if somebody buys a piece of fruit and they say, I don't like that, or something was wrong with it, they can anywhere in the world, they can track that fruit back to probably about one of 100 trees that it came from.
On our property.
That's amazing.
Have you ever had much problem with yours? No.
We never had a problem.
No. So here's the big question that everybody is going to ask. Allie is an expert making guacamole. So when you want to make guacamole, do you just walk out to the backyard and pick one and just make it? How do you do that?
Well, usually if we pick the avocados, we keep 5 trees for ourselves. And so throughout the rest of the year, we can go pick anytime we want. But it takes about 7 days from a baseball hard avocado to ripen.
Ah.
If I need it really fast, I put it in a brown paper bag with a half a banana in it, and they ripen faster. Mm-hmm. And but generally, yeah, we make all our own guacamole from here forward.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Or avocado amazing. Toast, which is the new hit, which I've been eating for.
That's my favorite. Is avocado toast anywhere? Yes.
It is funny that the fruit sits on that tree and doesn't ripen until you pick it. Something happens when you break that stem connection, almost like when, you know, a baby is delivered and the umbilical is separated. That baby body starts functioning completely different at that moment.
Yeah,
starts producing all of that. Avocados do the same thing.
That is very cool.
Any secret to why yours is so good? Because yours is, I've tasted lots of them, but yours is really the best I've had. So
I tell you, everybody that gets our avocados, like our local friends and neighbors, when we pick, we get people can come over because if the fruit's got a dent or anything wrong with it, they have to discard it. They can't sell it. Mm-hmm. So we always go and get that fruit because the inside is fine.
Yep.
But people always say that I think it's because it's farm to table. You know,
it's that fresh.
It's that fresh and we're that small and this farm has never grown anything. So this soil's super rich. And we always put a cross at the top of our hill every year and at Christmas, and now we need to do it at Easter. And we always think God blesses our land. He has ever since we picked, and every 7 years we let it lay fallow. Yep. And, you know,
that's great.
That's why I think it's the best.
Well, I can verify that. Well, remind our audience again how many years you've been married, how many kids you got, and then we'll start talking about your latest in your life. So just give a summary of, again, so everybody knows who you are.
We've been married 32 years. We have, we have 4 kids and 11 grandkids and 2 great-grandchildren.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. So a lot's happened in our 32 years.
That's amazing.
We're a blended family. When we were introduced, we had both come out of, some real chaotic lives. Our lives are resurrected lives. Our kids were all brought up together with us, despite real challenges with, you know, other parents and old dynamics and all that kind of stuff. And we tried to do it God's way from the very beginning. I was a brand new believer when we got married. Allie had been a believer for only a couple of years. We were introduced by a couple who knew both of us. And I just think that's been, you know, that's been just sort of a wonderful thing. But it's made our lives very different than a lot of our friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, we're excited. 32 years. Kathy, is this 31 for you, right?
31 for us, February 27th of this year, 31 years.
Yeah. Well, you guys are all pikers. Linda and I are 53. So
I know. I know we're youngins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you, bring us up to date? I know Denny's got some big changes with his, career, and, you know, you just had a remodel on your house. So kind of walk us through some of the things that have been happening, and then we can talk about how you've been processing that with God.
Wow. Well, a lot's happened in the last year. So last 2 years, actually, but it's all been good. I mean, we try to stay as close to God's word as we can.
Yeah.
And Rich, your ministry always helps us abide and stay connected to the vine. And we watch God's hand in the most crazy ways. Like we were with you guys in the Caribbean talking about our home and what God wants for us next. And two people contacted us. Do you want to sell your house? And we've been, I know it was so weird, right? And we were kind of, you know, talking about it. We've talked about it off and on because it's a big house and it's a big piece of property. And we're always thinking, you know, what does God have for us next? Because you know, look at some of California, and then we've got kids here and grandkids. And so we have a lot going on. And so we contacted back one of the potential buyers, and, you know, we just are seeing where God's taking us right now. It's just, he has us where he wants us. And we're I'm really satisfied with that. I think Denny is too. And we're just going to keep asking that question until we get the big time to sell.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about that. Cause we were with you, and there's a couple other things that were going on then too, but, Kathy, we were, our retreat was, living in God's safety in a very unsafe world. And we were just, you know, discussing, you know, what things are concerning us and, issues. And, and actually interesting, several people were about, well, you know, we're empty nesters and maybe we should downsize or do something different. And, Allie and Denny, you know, have looked at that. And they just raised it up as a, yeah, we're just something that's, we're trying to process. And, while we're there, they get literally on the same day. Remember? Yeah, it was the same day. They get two people that say, well, you're interested in selling your house. Now, when things like that happen, help us understand how we are to approach that, because it does, it's not an answer, but it's interesting. How do you take it as interesting? And now what steps are is God calling you to do to find out his answer, which could be, I'm just trying to confirm that you're supposed to stay there. So how are you looking at that, and what steps are you thinking of taking, including, you know, that, okay, we called him back, and, you know, how does all that work for you as you walk with God to try to get an answer on that?
You know, I was, when you were saying that, I was thinking about that old TV show, Get Smart.
Yeah.
And, you know, he gets out his car and he walks through a door and it closes, and then another door in front of him opens, and that door closes, another door, and he goes all the way down to finally gets to the phone booth, and he drops out the bottom of the phone booth. And, you know, that image popped into my head because I was really struck by the part of our teaching when we were all together a couple of weeks ago that was about this idea of step by step.
Yeah.
And that, you know, because it's kind of funny. A door opens, you get in, you enter it, right? He didn't just stand there. And if he stood there, the other door wouldn't have opened. He entered into it, the door behind it closed, and now he's in a new place. The door opens. And I see more than ever this idea that what we're supposed to do next is take the next step forward. And so Allie was like, all right, she wanted to invite in this couple that's been contacting her for years about, you know, if you guys ever interested in selling, please invite us in. They send her presents. Take the next step. So I think it is this idea of God's got a plan. We don't understand it. We try and not hold on too tight. We've fallen in love with our house after this big remodel, but in a way that's kind of like resulted in reclinging. And I think it's about release and take a step, release, take a step, release, take a step.
Yeah. And we did contact one of the, he actually gave us an offer on our house 2 years ago, but we didn't like it. So we said, no, thanks. And, so we contacted him and he was like, I love your property. I'm still interested. If you and Allie want to sell, please contact me. So we're still sitting in that and inviting this couple over that has been pursuing us and our home and see what the market will bear. So I think that's what God wants us to do, is that we always are ready. Okay, Lord, you know, until you put us at ease, and that's the, you know, like for right now, like don't look or don't go there, then we, you know, we're stepping forward in faith. And we know he'll secure our steps because he always has.
Yeah.
And I think there is this, we're both anxious about it for different reasons, and that's changed in the past, our positions on this. So it's kind of scary to take a step. You kind of want to not. And I think that's why that image, I think, popped into my head. We have to take a step forward, but we only have to take a step forward. We can always,
one step
at a time. Mm-hmm. So I like that. And it was a big take home for me from our time in the Caribbean.
Yeah, let's
I love even as you talk about that taking that next step, how often, at least in my life, how many times I see taking that next step or my hesitation to take it is actually a way that God reveals something in my heart he wants to refine in the process of the journey as well. And so a lot of times it's about so much more than the step itself than simply showing what's in my heart and what he wants me to release.
Yeah. And when you think of, the role of the Holy Spirit is to alert you. It says, I'm going to tell you of things to come. And again, the way he does it is a little bit what happened to you is that I just give you an alert. They get these two phone calls in one day. Per se, and this is what God wants us to keep understanding, it doesn't mean anything yet, but I am introducing something to you. Pay attention. There's something coming down the road. Pay attention. And it's just the only way we don't is we just say, no, I don't want to. He says, well, I want you to. So the two things that I'd like you to talk about, one would be, Denny, you said it, there's a hesitation sometimes to even want to take the step. I'm called to take a step. There's a lot of times when I don't want to, and talk a little bit. It's an interesting reason, some of the reasons why. What are some of the reasons why, yeah, we should take a step, but I really don't want to. What's causing that?
Well, for me, it's, and I think this is the same issue I have with a couple of other big decisions and related to business, is I get caught up in this idea that I have brought myself to this place. And if I step back from it, I am either admitting that I painted a path that I shouldn't have, or that my path is no longer the path I thought there was for me is no longer true. So I have to admit defeat maybe in some way, or it's something like that I've got a lot of personal energy tied up in where I am right now.
Yeah.
And so backing away from that somehow diminishes who I am. That's probably the hesitancy, as opposed to, wait a minute, all I am and the place I am is only because God has brought me here for a reason that maybe only he really truly understands.
Yeah.
And so, but I think that's it. I put way too much of myself into the history of what got me to wherever I am, and so I want to be stuck there.
Yeah. Any other thoughts, Allie, for you?
Yeah, I think that it looks like fear to me, that, you're kind of fearful, like, where can we go from here? I mean, this is one of the most beautiful places in the world to live. How can God top this? Like last night, I was standing out in front, and I was like, whoever thought we would get to live here?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Look at all these trees and fruit and rolling green hills, and people don't expect to see this in California, But the same reason he brought us here is the reason he's going to take us to the next place. And that or confirm, like, you're going to stay here for a while. We don't know. And so I think fear always keeps us, which was the perfect topic of your teaching, right?
Yeah.
It's why do we fear when he's never let us down?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of that, it's interesting fear is actually, I'm also almost afraid to get the answer. Because that may mean a change, and I'm not sure I want to do that. And so I really want to know, So isn't it better not to know? That's kind of
ignorance is bliss idea, right?
Yeah, but it really isn't because it keeps you so tied up.
Yeah.
And that's not the point of God.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Denny, your analogy, I do remember that, and I'm going to use that. That's a great picture. It's a great picture. So now when you think of, okay, I'm willing to take a step, and by the way, it's just the next step. That's all. Mm-hmm. Interesting enough, which I love your analogy, you can't take more than that.
That's all there is.
Because if you go, that other door is closed, and then when you take it, you get to the next one. So it's kind of interesting. Yeah. But you look at the next step, what do you understand as what is your role in What are you looking for? What are you doing? What are you receiving in taking a next step? How do you view that next step?
So I have a real sense that, first of all, I have to accept there's a next step in front of me. But that's the step number one. Step number two is try and study what I'm thinking when I position myself in that place. Because I do find in my study, when I sit down with the word, I almost always immediately have a word or a phrase in my head. It happens almost immediately. And it's generally about whatever I'm struggling with at that moment. Well, I'm struggling with a lot of this, right? A lot of this next step stuff. And so I can avoid opening the scripture, but if I just sit down, even with the intention of opening the word, the words pop into my head immediately. Mm-hmm. And every time, couple of search levels down, and I'm there. God brings me immediately to something that I should be studying. I've shared this with Allie, and sometimes it's not on that topic at all.
Right.
He diverts me because I want to take you deep into this thing here, and I'm like, whoa, and I'm writing, and I'm copying and pasting, and I'll share something that was really revealed to me. But all that tells me is that's really what God wanted to tell me today. And I think the habit of doing that, I don't have the greatest habit of doing that, but the practice of doing that gives me more comfort in the place that I'm stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And ready for the next, and getting you ready for the next step. He reveals it. And he doesn't, what I love is he doesn't reveal something like we always think it's going to be, ooh, scary. It's not scary. Because, I love what you always say, Rich, is God knows what's around the corner and you don't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just like asking God what's around the corner for us.
Yeah.
And if he's brought us this far in 32 years, it's all gravy, really. He's done more than we could ever hope mm-hmm. or ask for.
Yeah.
I had another thing happen this morning. And it's not related to the house, but is related to my separation from my current company. I'm at the very, very final stages of being completely out of that activity. But there have been a few things that I'm stuck in because there's a big analytical thing that gets done as part of a daily model that I built years ago. And I haven't been able to transition it to someone else. And so I spend a lot of my mornings, obsessing over this stupid model. And it's way beyond what it's worth, but it's one of the few things I have left from that. It's a few attachments I have left from that company. So what's really going on is I'm hanging on by a thread, and this is, So this guy that I brought in to be the new CEO of the company brought in a new financial analyst, a head of their financial analyst team. And this guy has said one of the first things he wants to do is transition that thing. So he and I started meeting like just a week ago. And in a week, he has rewritten the entire model. And he walked me through his version this morning. And, just before we got on the phone, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so much better than what I And so what we agreed to in that call this morning was, he said, let's run this in parallel for a while. I said, why don't you literally go ahead and do the cutover right now, tomorrow morning, and I'll maintain this in the background for a few weeks. And as long as I tie back to it, we're good, and I'll just release it after that. And so
interesting answer.
It was, yeah, so it's kind of like what I said, you're obsessing over this thing. It's actually affecting your personal life. You've made this thing bigger than what it really is because you won't mm-hmm. let go.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to put something in there, something in there that's just going to.
Last thing that you hang on to. It's interesting. Yeah. And he used to always do these 5-year models. And at the end of the first year one of the 5-year plan, he'd do another 5-year plan. And I was like, how do you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll know it better next year.
Yeah. Yeah. And we know for sure it'll be different, right?
It'll be different. It'll always be different.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really interesting how, God just again says, here, let me provide this to you. It's really fun. So we'll pick it up next time. I want to keep talking about the next steps and talk a little bit about your transition. And again, you're in a next step with that as well, including what you just described of,
it's cool.
You know, you have a model mm-hmm. that, you know, was terrific and wonderful. And God says, I can take that from you. You don't need to do that anymore. And of course, it had to be good. It has to be a good model. You can't just, you know, say, I'm not going to do it. And God says, I can make it good. And the neat thing I just heard you say is you're actually good with that. Because
isn't that cool?
A lot of people could say, well, that's my model and I want to stay involved and I got to make sure it's right. And it's like you're saying, hallelujah.
Right. Well, and even the beauty of the humility in that as a leader right. is fantastic. That's so beautiful.
Right. And that's just this morning.
Just this people. Morning. Yeah, that's beautiful.
That's why I was a few minutes late.
Well, we'll pick this up next time. Thank you so much. It's just a joy to hear your stories and be with you. And we praise you. Heavenly Father, we pray blessing over Allie and Denny. And thank you for their beautiful avocado orchard and even what's happening right now today.
Yes.
Pray that it'll be fruitful, really, literally fruitful. And we'll bless them with what they have there. And thank you for this next step that you've given them. And so we praise you and thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, guys. And thank you for joining us, listeners. If you have questions from today's podcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we'd love to see you next time.
Yep.
Have
see
a
you.
Great day.
See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.